Open your Bibles tonight to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32 through 39, where our lesson will come from. It's good to see you all here tonight. We do have some visitors with us. My parents being some of those, it's good to have them with us here tonight. I didn't know they were coming tonight, so that was a pleasant surprise. And we have some others as well, and we definitely appreciate you being here tonight. Kind of had this lesson on my mind for a while, just kind of waiting the time to work it in. So I know we're going through a couple of different series now on worship and prayer, but I wanted to throw this one in tonight. I think it's a good lesson considering what many of us I know are facing at this time, a lot of struggles, a lot of different things that we're facing. And it's just one of those good pick-me-up lessons that I believe we need from time to time. Sometimes as a preacher, I think we can maybe bring it down pretty hard sometimes. I know I can, and that's needed, but there's a lot of times that we need to be picked up as well. So this is one of those lessons that encourage us that we can, and that we can overcome what we're facing in our lives. So follow along with me there in Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 32. Hebrews 10 and in verse 32. This passage is about living by faith, but I love the last part of it as chapter 10 concludes. Hebrews 10 beginning in verse 32. Says, recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle by both reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Notice this, verse 39. This is the best part. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. You know, the best way I know how to describe that passage is it's almost like one of those pre-game speeches. You're getting ready to go out to play. You're getting ready to go out to battle. And the writer of Hebrews says here, you can do it. You've got to live by faith. You've got to joyfully accept the plundering of your goods. But yet, all the while, you don't lose confidence. You endure. You'll receive the promise. And you're going to be okay. It's just one of those verses. I mean, that verse, especially that last part there in verse 39, we don't draw back, but we go on to the saving of the soul. That almost makes me want to come out of this pulpit and chest bump with Troy and go over here and give a high five to Buzz because, hey, we can do it. And that's the kind of verse that is. It just tells us that together we're going to be all right. We don't draw back and we don't quit. We've got good reason to press on and everything's going to work out if we love God and are called according to His purpose. Romans 8 and verse 28. So that's kind of the gist of what the writer of Hebrews is wanting us to get out of that passage. But here's the problem. Not with that passage, but with us. That verse and so many others, that's all good and well. It's encouraging. It's upbuilding. It reminds us that we can do it. But you take that verse and then you stand before the mountain that you're facing, whatever that may be. And I know some of your battles, some of you are facing. I don't know some of the things that you're facing. But whatever battle that may be and whatever mountain you may be facing in your life tonight, sometimes when you stand at the base of that mountain and look up, you do want to draw back. And you don't have that kind of that fire and zeal and I can do it type of mindset when you're standing at the base of that mountain looking up thinking, how am I going to ever overcome what I'm facing? What should our perspective be? It's so easy to read a verse like that and think, man, that's good. And then you face the mountain and you think, I can't. There's no way. How can I ever get over whatever I'm facing? But what should our perspective be when we stand at the base of a mountain in life and we've got to try to figure out what to do? We've got to try to figure out how can we really get over that and overcome it. And I want to ask you a very important question tonight. And that is this, is I can't, and that's something that I was taught from an early age that to not let it be a part of my vocabulary. I've tried to pass that on to my children as well. But regardless of how much encouragement we've had to correct that, sometimes it's still in our mind and we think, I just don't know if I can do this. And we may not come out and say it, but a lot of times we think and we feel, I can't. But is that an accurate statement for a child of God? Is that an accurate statement for one of God's people? I stand before you tonight and tell you, I don't believe so. I don't believe that's an accurate statement at all. And we're going to come back and say this at the end of tonight's lesson, but we should remove that from our vocabulary forevermore. I can't should not exist in our lives, no matter what it is that we're facing. Because of God, all things are possible. So what I want to do tonight is I want us to think, in the beginning part of this lesson, and to think about what the Bible says about boldness. We could spend a long time on this. We won't. We'll just look at a few things. But the Bible is packed full, jam-packed full of verses that talk about really why we need to be bold. Not prideful, but bold, and that we can overcome whatever we're facing. And then I want us to reevaluate. I want us to kind of come back to the beginning and to reevaluate our thought process of I can't. Because I really believe when we're thinking and saying and living I can't, we're really saying something else. And we'll come back to that at the end of tonight's lesson. But for now, what does the Bible say on boldness? One of the most, I think, encouraging statements that is ever uttered is found from Daniel chapter 3. Here you have Nebuchadnezzar who's worked himself up into a rage and a fury. It's been told to him that Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, will not bow down to this golden image that he's put up. And he calls them in, and he's mad, and he's upset about it. He's already sent out the decree that if you don't bow down to it, you're going to go in the furnace. And they know what's going to happen, and all these things are at stake. But Daniel's friends are not wavering at all. So he calls them in. He's mad. He's in a rage. He's in a fury. And he says, it has been told to me that you will not bow down to the golden image. He says, so now if you're ready, when you hear the music play, just go ahead and bow down. Worship the image that I've set up, basically worship me and worship the government and worship what I'm putting in place, and we'll go on our way and everybody will be happy. That's essentially what you get from Daniel 3. But it is amazing that after he said that, how they responded. In Daniel chapter 3 and in verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we don't have any reason to give you an answer at this point. Isn't that something? I mean, they were literally standing before the furnace and they said, we don't even have to give you an answer. You know what our answer is, and it's not changed. They were bold, not prideful, but they were bold. And they went on to say, if God wants to deliver us, He'll deliver us, and that'll be great. If He chooses not to, and this kind of goes back to what we're talking about this morning and understanding how God answers prayers, if for whatever reason it's not God's will that He delivers from this furnace, so be it. Our answer is still the same because either way we win. If our life is preserved, we live longer on this earth. If it's not, we get to go and be with God in a better place, in a much more beautiful setting. Either way, it's a win-win. And they said, we're not going to give you another answer. I want to ask you, as we face challenges in our lives, and as we might say it in this way, when the heat is turned up, and we know that furnace was heated 7 times hotter than normal, when the heat is turned up, do we crumble under that pressure? Do we melt? Or do we stand boldly because we know that with God we can do it and we say, our answer doesn't change. Turn up the furnace all you want, devil, but we're going to stand for God. Does that describe us? In every way, that's the way we should be because the Bible gives us many reasons that we should be bold. They were standing before that fiery furnace, and they were unfazed by that. Are we? I'm afraid sometimes we stand before those furnaces in life, or we stand before that mountain and we look up, we're not so convinced. But my friends, we have every reason to be. In Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 13, let's just run through some simple verses here. Paul said there, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He didn't say, I hope. He didn't say, there's a pretty good chance I might be able to do this. He didn't beat around the bush. He said, I can. It was never in his thought process that there was a chance that he could not. Now, it was not of his own accord, but through Christ who strengthens me, he says, I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do we believe that? More importantly, do we live our life that way? 1 Corinthians 10 and in verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able, but with every temptation, notice this, will make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You might summarize that by saying, no matter what you face, God's going to provide a way. You can escape that, and you can bear it. So no matter how tall that mountain is, or how hot that furnace is that you stand before in life, God will provide a way, a special way, just for you, because we're all different. We all have different strengths. We all have different weaknesses. God said, I'll provide a way so that you can, not that you might, but that you can bear it. We can. There shouldn't be any doubt in our minds that we cannot overcome anything that we're facing. No matter how great the loss, no matter how tall the mountain, no matter how hot the persecution. We can do it. 2 Corinthians 12 and in verse 9, we talked about this briefly this morning. Christ told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. 2 Corinthians 12 and in verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul said, therefore I most gladly will rather boast in my infirmities. Notice the boldness here. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul said, in the lowest moments of my life, when that thorn in the flesh was really giving me fits, and I just wanted it to be removed, for whatever reason it wasn't, but it was my way, it was God's way, to get me to the point of where He could use me and cause me to be better. So many times we look at our struggles and we look at the things that we're facing in this life and we see it as hindrances. We see it as obstacles. We see it as mountains that we have to climb and times of hot and times of difficulty that we have to go through. And it seems so bad, and it is bad, but it may be a good thing. Because we learn to be dependent upon God. We learn to be dependent upon Christ. We learn that we don't have all the answers. We learn that we ourselves as individuals, we learn that we can't do that. But that through God we can. And that's why Christ said, my grace is sufficient for you, and it's made perfect in you in a time of your weakness because you realize how strong that I am and that I can be in you. So again, it's just another reason for boldness. Look at this, 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You know, it's hard to do a job. You name any job in the work field, no matter what it may be, whether it's mechanical or electrical or technical or whatever field you may work in, if you don't have the right tools and if you don't have the right essentials to do your job, you can't do your job. You got to have the right tools. You got to have the right implements in order to put into practice to be able to perform the work that you're going to do. And without those, you can't. It's amazing when you have the right tool how much more efficient you can be. And then when you don't have that, how much you struggle. God has given us all the right tools. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And notice what it says in verse 4. That you've been given to us exceedingly and great and precious promises that through these you may be partakers of divine nature. Having escaped, again, not being defeated, but having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You know what that verse says? That verse says that we can. It says we can. The question is, do you believe it? Here's the point. We have a lot of positive things going for us. And like I said, we could continue to look at verse after verse after verse that builds the case for that we have good reason to have boldness when it comes to being a Christian. Again, not pride, but confidence in God through us that we can overcome anything. There's a big difference in boldness through God and of God and in God and in being prideful. That's not what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about being bold and having confidence. But what about I can't? Well, one reason that we need to consider the idea that the fact that I can is not accurate in our lives as God's people is that we've got a lot going for us. We just looked at that, and to kind of summarize the verses we just looked at, we should believe that I can. Always believe that I can. Why? Through God. Not that I can of myself, but I can through God in Christ. God always provides a way. And sometimes, even in the times of the greatest weakness, it's amazing how sometimes that can be when we're the strongest. I'm amazed, and I've seen it quite a lot here lately, but I'm amazed at how strong Christian people in a time of hardship, in a time of loss, in a time of death, it's amazing how strong they get. Now, I know they say they're weak, and we say we're weak, and we're struggling. But it's amazing how much their faith comes out, and that assurance comes out, and that peace comes out. And a lot of times, somebody who's going through that as a child of God will be a great encouragement to us who are not, just simply seeing how firm they stand and how strong their faith is. That strength can really come out in a moment of weakness. And God has given us all the essential tools. So as far as I can't, even with all of this, sometimes, sadly, I can't still kind of creeps its way back in. We know we shouldn't think that way. We know we shouldn't say I can't. We know we shouldn't look at the situation and just say, I just don't know. But a lot of times it still does. But what about that? What about that I can't? Let's talk about a man just for a moment here to make our point tonight who was a master at I can't. And that was Moses. In Exodus chapter 3 and also in Exodus chapter 4, as I said, Moses, at least in his mind, had mastered I can't. Now this is really the brunt of our lesson here tonight, so I encourage you to follow along and focus in here with me, because let's make our point tonight and our case against I can't, and let's get rid of that forever. In chapter 3 of Exodus, in verse 11, the first thing that Moses said to God was, "Who am I? Who am I that I should go?" You know what he's saying? He's saying, I can't. Who am I? I can't do this. Chapter 3 and in verse 13, Moses said, well, what will I say when I get over there? You know, there's going to be a lot of questions. There's going to be a lot of things I have to deal with. What am I going to say? What if they don't believe me? Chapter 4. What if they don't believe me? Chapter 4 and in verse 10, I'm not a good speaker. Chapter 4 and verse 13, after all those good answers that God gave him, and God, almost like a father to a little child, saying, "You can do it, son. You can do it, son. I know you can. I'll be here to help you," over and over and over again. That's what God's telling Moses. And at the very end of it, he said, "Just send somebody else. I can't do it." Essentially, that's what he's saying. Or at least on the surface, it appears that's what he's saying. But I don't believe that was true. Was it true that Moses could not? No. When you really think about it, and when you sit back and you look at the entirety of Moses' life and what he was able to accomplish through God's people, it wasn't the issue was not, could Moses do it or not? You know what the issue was? The issue was that he didn't want to do it. So for all the ways that we sometimes look at Moses and think, well, he was saying, I can't do that for this, I can't do that for that, I can't do it for this, he could in every way. What he really was saying, without coming out and saying it, was, I won't. And I'm afraid sometimes in our lives as Christians, we're a lot like Moses. I know I've been. I've fought with myself many times in my life, thinking and saying, I can't. But really, deep down inside, it was just, Daniel didn't want to. But is that a valid excuse when it comes to serving God? I'm afraid not. How often we're like Moses and we possess that I won't mindset. Let me give you a few examples. People may say, and these are just some. I could go on and on. You could add many more. But sometimes people say, I just can't get along with my spouse anymore. I just can't do it anymore. The kids are gone. Maybe the kids are here. There's just all these factors. There's all this stuff. I just can't do it anymore. And I'm gonna call it quits. In the workplace, somebody may say, well, I just can't tolerate my boss anymore. I can't tolerate these people anymore. I can't tolerate doing this anymore. I can. I can't be nice to somebody who's not nice to me. I can't be nice to an annoying, rude person. I can't be nice to bad people, especially when they don't treat me right or my family right or those that I love right. Sometimes people, and I've actually heard men say this before, I can't help but to lust. God made me with these eyes and He made me with these desires. I just can't help it. I actually had a conversation with somebody one time about homosexuality, and they made the statement to me that, you know, those people, they have natural tendencies and they can't help that. Okay. We all have a lot of natural tendencies, and that may be debatable whether they really have those or not, but whatever, that's up to them. It's not for me to decide. But to say, well, I've just got some natural tendencies and I can't control that and that's okay? I don't think so. I can't stop cursing. I can't quit smoking. I can't control my temper. I can't worship with that person anymore. I can't worship with those people anymore. I can't serve God in a greater capacity. I'm doing all I can do. I can't be an elder. I can't be a deacon. I can't be a teacher. And you might be otherwise qualified, but just in your mind, you're thinking, I just can't do it. I'm not fit for that service. I just can't do it. I can't let go of whatever has offended me or whatever somebody's done to wrong me. Here's a terrible one. I can't forgive that person. I can't live before God in the way that He needs me to because of, and you insert the blame. See the point. So many times, and we may not come out and say it, but so many times we say, I can't. But do you know the truth of that statement? The truth of that statement is really that we're just like Moses and we're saying, I don't want to do it. Because when you go back and you look at everything we've talked about thus far in this lesson, we've got everything we need to be able to do whatever we need to do. So for a child of God to say, I can't, no, that's not true. What you're really saying is, I won't. Because I don't want to do it. And I'm pretty sure that's not going to stand up in the day of judgment. In fact, God's not okay with I can't. He's not okay with I won't. Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 38, the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. God's not going to swallow that pill when it comes to us. Because He knows what He's given us, and He knows how He's created us, and He knows that we can. And to say I won't, or I can't, it's not going to cut it. God was angry with Moses because of his mindset. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses at that last I can't statement. Just send somebody else. You think God's still upset with us today when we say I can't? Or when we basically say I won't because I don't want to? I believe so. Now I know I said this is a pick-me-up lesson, and it is, I promise, but I want us to understand that concept of when we say I can't, we're really saying I won't or I don't want to, but that's wrong. Because the truth of the nature is, and the truth of God's Word is, we can. With God, there's no yes and no. With God, there's no maybe. With God, there's no I'm not sure, but we'll see. What does it say in 2 Corinthians 1 and in verse 19 and 20? For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no. He was not unsure. But in Him was yes. And all the promises of God in Him are yes. And in Him, amen. There's no doubt. And that should be the mentality that we face life. Yes. Yes, we can. Because we've got God on our side. I read an interesting story about three men back in January of 1844. One by the name of Kit Carson, other by the name, last name of Fitzpatrick, and one name by the name of John C. Fremont. Irving Stone wrote a book about these three men entitled The Men Matched the Mountains. But the story is told about how they, in January of 1844, attempted to do something that had never been done before, and that was to cross the Sierra Nevada Mountains in the dead of winter. Stone described it as the longest 70 miles in the history of exploration. So many times those who tried had failed. Those who tried to cross the mountain suffered blindness, hypothermia, and near starvation. But in the end, these three men matched the mountains. And the thing that's impressive about this is that from a spiritual standpoint, all of us face mountains, do we not? We face mountains of anxiety, addiction, depression, fear, shame, doubt, you name it. Mountains that intimidate us. Mountains that we see as obstacles keeping us from what we need to be. But so beautifully in this book, Stone points out that the mountain was not the obstacle. Those mountains were the way to to the westward expansion. And I'm convinced that in our lives as God's people, sometimes, probably more often than not, what we would consider to be a mountain may actually be God's way of getting us to where we need to be. But you can't do it if you say, I can. You can't do it if you live your life, I won't. So the lesson tonight is very simple. First of all, remove I can't and I won't forevermore from your vocabulary and your mind and your heart. And start living your life, I can, with God's help. And as far as those mountains that we face, they're not mountains. Laugh at them. Thank God for them. Because they're the way to make us better people. It's all about your perspective. It's either an obstacle or it's a way. It's either an I can't, I won't, or here's another one, God. Let's tackle it together. Let's tackle it together with God and with God's people. What's your perspective tonight? Are you somebody that suffers from I can't or I won't? I encourage you to stop doubting. Whatever you're facing, God is bigger. And with God, you can overcome that. The mountain is not the obstacle. The mountain is the way. And I would encourage you tonight to believe and know that you can. That we can. Sometimes we come to Christ, as we're going to be sung or be led in just a moment in this song. We come to the Lord and we're broken, we're torn down. A life of I can and I won't will get you there. But when you turn your life over to God, and that, maybe tonight that means you need to become a Christian, or it might mean that you need to be restored as a child of God. But when you humbly come to the throne of grace, you'll find what you need. We can do it. You can do it. With God, all things are possible. If we can help you in any way tonight, won't you come while we stand here?